Now we're having a good time. Are you having a good time out of that? That words being spiritual containers. Yeah. And in today's lesson, let's go over to the Word of God in His Word in Hebrews.
Okay.
The letter to the Hebrews.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Excuse me, please. Chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, the same Greek word is translated confession. And you go to other translations and it's always, and in other places in the Bible, it is confession. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, chapter 4, let us fear lest a promise, these are covenant promises, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being left us entering into the rest, you should come short of it. Now, verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature not manifest in his sight. Now, I want you to notice what he said here. He said, the word of God, he.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The word of God, we're reading his words right now.
Yes.
Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hold fast to your confession of faith. Don't hold fast to a confession of fear.
Now, he's a high priest. What does a high priest do? High priest ministers to the Lord.
Yes.
What you bring him. Yes. You bring your sacrifice, your lamb, your gifts have come up before me, he said of Cornelius, as a sweet, your prayer and your giving has come up. He is your high priest. So he is the high priest of my words.
Yes, he is.
Now, if I say words he can't do anything with, that's not his fault. I mean, he just has to sit on his hands. But if I'll say his word, if you'll confess me before men or say the same thing I say before men, I will turn and confess you or say the same thing you just said before the Father. And the Father, all his promises are yes and amen. So he puts his amen on it or so be it on it. When I say what Jesus says, Jesus turns to the Father and says what I say. And the Father says, so be it. Done.
Now we know why it is so important to renew our minds.
They were always trying to trip Jesus up with his own words. Let me show you. Can we go to Luke chapter 4? And I'll show you Jesus stopping when the scroll is brought to him in Nazareth, in his own church, his own synagogue, if you will. Luke 4, 16.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, that's important, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book.
Yes, he did.
He stopped. Brother Copeland, you don't do that. In synagogue, in Hebrew society, you don't stop in the middle of a verse. You finish the verse. You finish what's being read. You don't leave anything out.
He was in the 61st chapter of Isaiah.
Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2.
Yes.
Here it is. You ready? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening a prison to them that are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and the day of vengeance of our God. He stopped because he knew the power of his words. It's not time for that. That's not his time. That's in our future. Mm-hmm. That's his second coming. The day of vengeance, honey, it's coming.
That is enough to make him mad. Who does he think he is?
He stopped.
He
this just
stopped
reading.
This is why
all the eyes of everybody in the room was on him. Why'd he do that? Why'd he stop reading? Why did he close it and hand it back? You didn't finish the verse. They knew the verse. But why did you? And they said, this has been fulfilled in your ears. He said, this has been fulfilled in your ears because he didn't finish that last part.
Today. That's what made him mad.
That's right. So it's significant that he stopped at the comma. He's intentionally limited his reading to the mission of his first coming and why he's there today. This day, Scripture has been fulfilled. His second coming will be the second part of that verse.
Yes, it is.
But this is why, even to the minutest detail of that, Jesus is watching over his words.
Yes.
Because he's reading the word, which is himself. Over and over and over, you see him teaching. If you take the Bible and you go from about Genesis 12, right there, all the way to Acts 2, that's Israel. We're in the back part of this book back here. And everything he's doing is fulfillment of something else that had been done before and getting it right that had been gotten wrong. And they're all trying to trip him up in his words all the time. They use the word to trip him up in the word, which is what Satan did. One of my favorite examples of this in Jesus is Matthew 22, 41 through 46. And it says, when the Pharisees, they never could see him for who he was. They couldn't break the code. The code had been there. He taught the disciples out of the First Testament. He taught, that's the Bible he used. That's the Bible Paul used. And he would teach about himself on the road to Emmaus. He's talking to those people. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within him as he taught them from Moses concerning himself? Mm-hmm. And let me read this to you. When the Pharisees were gathered together, this is Matthew 22, 41, Jesus asked them, saying, what think you of Christ or the Messiah?
Yes,
who is Messiah? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. Now, see, that's covenant talk. He's given them clues. He said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Jesus is quoting Psalm 110 right there. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? No man was able to answer him a word. Now, this is my favorite part. Neither does any man from that day forward ask him any more questions. They stop asking him questions right then. If you'll continue to speak the word, you'll get to a place where that enemy will stop asking you questions. Because he knows what's going to come out. If you'll be consistent to do like he did and speak the word, there are places in my life right now, and I know somebody will say, oh, you shouldn't say this. There are places in my life that the enemy does not tempt me in anymore because the victory is there. I know what the word is. I'm not even tempted. If he were to come at me with that, I'd be like, what? 20 years ago, maybe. Not now.
Well, I'd like anybody trying to tempt me to go back smoking cigarettes. You got to be kidding me.
Right.
But now, at the time, it was very, very difficult. That was just really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then, The first time that I came under ministry was in that same meeting in Houston with Hilton Sutton, Charles Rogers. I drove up there with a package of cigarettes, and I stuck them up over the sun visor of the car. Now, I was working for my dad, and I was in Tyler, Texas. I didn't have enough money to go back and get Gloria and go to Houston. And I knew I was way out of place. So I called my dad and told him, I said, you know I'm out of place. I can't do this any longer. And I'm going to Houston. There's a meeting down there with Hilton Sutton and Charles Rogers. And I called Gloria and I said, I don't have money enough for gasoline enough to come back and get you. I'm going on down there. She said, okay, so we prayed. Now, 2 weeks went by, and a man just walked up there and handed me a bunch of money, and he said, go home and get your wife. Mm-hmm. So I did, and I looked up there, and I, well, look at you. And they were gone. That, I'd been delivered of it already a couple of times. I won't go into all the dumb stuff that got me back in it, it was over. The concentrated, I didn't quit. That concentrated church all day, I didn't remember them.
Right. It was gone from your thinking. So then you didn't say anything about it either to reinforce more
thinking. It was gone from my thinking.
That's recurrent training.
It's recurrent training. And then for the devil to try to tempt me with that would be ludicrous.
Right.
And he knows that, and so do I.
That's what Victory Campaigns, Southwest Believers Convention are, the recurrent training. That's why you need to be there. There's an interesting word in the Hebrew, you know how I have to do. I have to look stuff up. And the verb to think in Scripture and the noun thought are used very liberally in translation in the Hebrew. No fewer than 22 different Hebrew or Aramaic words come out as think or thought. Now, the main Hebrew word often translated to think is actually this word amar. It's very interesting, but it's not to think. It means to say. Yet in English, a lot of times it's translated as to think. So right there in the original language, I've got what I think controls what I say.
It sure does.
And so we've translated it as think, but it literally means to say. It's sometimes found in this expression, amar bilibo, which means to say in one's heart, not to think in one's heart. To say in one's heart, because if I think this in my heart long enough, I'm going to say this. And this is why words are containers of your spirit, man.
Yeah, and I've wondered about this a lot of times. Two parts of this passage of Scripture. Jesus is gone. Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said, we're going with you. So they looked up, and there was Jesus on the shore cooking fish. Where did he get the fish? And one of the things I'm going to ask him,
sir, where'd you get those fish? and then he'll be glad to tell me how he spoke, and they jumped out of the water. And
or he created them right there.
Yeah. Or angels are involved.
Done that. Yeah, or angels are involved. Yeah, probably so.
Anyway, Peter said, it's the Lord.
Yeah.
So he just jumped overboard and swam ashore. So they ate fish.
He did that before, didn't he? Jumped overboard and went to greet him.
Yeah, he's first. It's missed in the English Bible. Now, he denied the Lord three times.
Right.
Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. He asked him again, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. That's not what he said. Jesus said, do you agape me? Mm-hmm. He said, you know, I filio you.
Right.
Brother, the second time, agape is unconditional love. God loves with agape love. The second time he said, do you agape me? He said, Lord, you know, I filio you. It's natural love. The third time he said, do you filio me. So he came down to his level. He said, feed my sheep.
That's right.
Now, I've wondered years and years and years and years. I've thought about that and thought about that. He almost denied him again. Mm-hmm. I think he was afraid he couldn't do that. He couldn't come to that place of unconditional love because he knew Jesus had unconditional love, or he wouldn't have loved him at all after what he did. I think he was so fearful.
Well,
he couldn't say it.
He couldn't in himself, but he could in Christ. It's the only way we can love that way. It's not possible in your natural.
The day of Pentecost hadn't happened yet.
That's exactly right.
That's the reason why. But I'm convinced that he was afraid that he couldn't hold up to it. And so Jesus then came down on his level. And he could go along with that. But then after the day of Pentecost,
he was a total different person.
He's a completely different person.
He gets up and preaches Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. I mean, he's totally different when the Holy Ghost came in. I used to say it this way, that the Holy Ghost will take the chicken out of you.
Yeah.
Because he denied him when the rooster was crowing. He was the chicken that day. But anyway, it doesn't translate into Spanish, but it translates into English. In Judges 15:2, to the point I was making about words or thoughts and saying, there's a Hebrew text that says, amora marti, literally means, I said a saying. In our English Bible, it says, I really thought. No. He didn't think, he said.
Yeah.
Now, he said because he thought. The idea of saying, whether intentional or external, relates to an intentional act in Hebrew. In Hebrew, to say is an intentional act. Mm-hmm. And this is why he's having Peter say something. This is why Jesus is saying something. It's not just shooting your mouth off.
He insisted that he say it.
Yes. He had to. This is why.
How many times?
We started with Hebrews, high priest of my saying.
How many times, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times do you say, I say unto you? Mm-hmm. Jairus' daughter. He said, lay your hands on her and she'll live. Well, he did. He took her by the hand. But he said, daughter, I say unto you. I say it. The power release is in words.
Right. He would say this when coming against tradition. He would say, you've heard it said, but I say unto you.
I say it.
In other words, you've heard this. Now, it's not true. Yes. But now I say this unto you. And what he's doing, he's correcting that error. Anytime he ever asks you a question, listen to him. I mean, what he's saying to you.
It's look at this fourth verse in Luke 4. No, chapter 5. Verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a haul. Mm. Now, that's what he said. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That is not what he said. Mm-mm. Now, people have tried to make a big deal out of this, but I'm going to show you something. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees. He could, his knees knee deep in fish, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the haul of fish that they had taken. Now, why did the net break? When you go over there to that place, they had so much fish in the net, they couldn't pull it.
Right. Right.
On that day that they saw Jesus on shore, and that net didn't break. I had flown Jerry Savelle to Victoria, Texas, mm-hmm. to preach in a church of men that was both our friends. Well, he stood up to receive the offering, and he talked about the net breaking, boat sinking low. And I'd always had a little scratching at me over that. And the word of the Lord came to me, and the Lord said, that net was rotten. And he took me back to all those other places.
Yeah.
And when you read that story, you find out they weren't even listening to him.
Nope.
They were washing their nets.
That's when he called them. They were mending nets.
Yes. And then as I studied it, I went before the Lord about it. He said, Peter had a net that was old. Mm-hmm. And he knew they weren't going to catch anything out there. He's just going to take the preacher fishing. Because he's been on this lake for years.
They've been doing it all night and caught
anything. Yeah, and didn't catch
it. We're not going to catch anything in the daytime with our net.
The Galilee is so clear that you throw a net, the fish run away from the net. But they never had the Creator in the boat with them. So I'm taking those little fish and saying, take me, take me. He took that one old rotten net. And of course, it just came all to pieces. That's the reason he said, get away from me. I am a sinful man. He's thinking, because I took this old rotten net, I know better than that, and I never thought we were going to catch anything anyway, and look at this.
See, it makes sense now. I'm the one that's saying his desire and his will in the earth. This is why I have to change the what I say.
And we're out of time again. But it's a good time.
It's a good time.
We'll be back in just a quick minute.
Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. When God's word is in you, you can't help but have excellent results. Learn how you can produce only good things in your life with the audio teaching, Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results by Kenneth Copeland. He says the way to choose life is by attending to His Word and speaking faith-filled words. God's Word produces health, prosperity, peace, everything good you could ever need. It pleases Him to see you blessed, living in the abundance Jesus paid for. What's in your heart is what you'll see in your life. Learn to guard it with the Word of God. When the Word is in you, you're able to speak it by faith. Choose to align your mouth with Him and reprogram your heart from death to life. You are a child of God, so learn to do things His way, the blessing way. God's words received into your heart and spoken out your mouth are His creative force in the earth today. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's series entitled Watch Your Words, Guard Your Heart, Get Results. Available on MP3 disc at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today. You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV broadcast study notes today at kcm.org.uk/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org.uk/notes.
Not all that long ago, I don't even remember now what I said. And Gloria said, I started to get mad, but I decided I wouldn't. Well, that's a good decision. That's what you need to do. I decided I would not. I decided I will not. The decision is yours, because you will believe you before you believe anyone else. I don't believe I can do that. Oh, yes, I believe I can do that. Oh, no, I can't. Renew your mind with these words. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland and Gregory Stevens.
Yes, sir.
Reminding you that God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Yeehaw!
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.uk.